ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। Chapter titled Birth of Emperor Parikshit. Tasman Namna Vishnurata Iti Loke Abhishyati Na Sandeho Mahabhaga Mahabhagavato Mahan Tasman Namna Vishnurata Iti Loke Bhavishyati Na Sandeho Mahabhaga Mahabhagavato Mahan Tasman namna Vishnurata
Tasman namna Vishnurata
Iti loke bhavishyati
Iti loke bhavishyati
Na sandeho mahabhaga
Na sandeho mahabhaga
Mahabhagavato mahan
Mahabhagavato mahan
Tasman namna Vishnurata
Tasman namna Vishnurata
Iti loke bhavishyati
Iti loke bhavishyati
Na sandeho mahabhaga
Na sandeho mahabhaga
Mahabhagavato mahan
Mahabhagavato mahan Tasman namna Vishnurata
Tasman namna Vishnurata
Iti loke bhavishyati
Iti loke bhavishyati
Na sandeho mahabhaga
Na sandeho mahabhaga
Mahabhagavato mahan
Mahabhagavato mahan
Tasman
Tasman namna Vishnurata
Iti loke bhavishyati
Na sandeho mahabhaga Mahabhagavato mahan Go to a translation Tasman
therefore
namna
by the name
Vishnurata,
Vishnurata,
protected by Vishnu,
protected by Vishnu,
the personality of Godhead,
the personality of Godhead
iti thus, loke,
in all the planets,
bhavishyati,
shall become well known,
sandeha,
doubts,
Mahabhaga, most fortunate,
Mahabhagavataha,
the first class devotee of the Lord,
Mahan,
qualified by all good qualities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Translation. For this reason, this child will be well known in the world as one who is protected by the personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one. Therefore, there is no doubt that this child will become the first class devotee and will be qualified with all qualities. Please repeat the translation. For this reason,
this child
will be well known
in the world
as one
who is protected
by the personality of Godhead.
O most fortunate one,
there is no doubt
that this child
will become a first class devotee
and will be qualified
with all good qualities. The Lord gives protection to all living beings because He is their supreme leader. The Vedic hymns confirm that the Lord is the supreme person among all personalities. The difference between the two living beings is that the one, the personality of Godhead, provides all the other living beings. And By knowing him, one can achieve eternal peace, Katha Upanishad. Such prediction is given by his different potencies to different grades of living beings. But as far as his unalloyed devotees are concerned, he gives the protection personally. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit is protected from the very beginning of his appearance in the womb of his mother. And because he is especially given the protection by the Lord, the indication must be concluded that the child would be a first great devotee of the Lord with all good qualities. There are three grades of devotees, namely the Mahabhagavata, Madhyamadhikari and the Kanishtadhikari. Those who go to the temple of the Lord and offer worshipful respects to the deity without sufficient knowledge in the theological science and therefore without any respect for the devotees of the Lord are called materialistic devotees or Kanishta Adhikari. The third grade devotees. Secondly, the devotees who have developed the mentality of genuine service to the Lord and who thus make friendship only with similar devotees, show favor to the neophytes and avoid the atheists are called the second grade devotees. But those who see everything in the Lord or everything in the Lord, everything of the Lord and also see in everything an eternal relationship of the Lord, so that there is nothing within their purview of sight except the Lord, are called the Mahabhagavatas or the first class devotees of the Lord. Such first grade devotees of the Lord are perfect in all respects. A devotee who may be in any of these categories is automatically qualified by all good qualities, and thus a Mahabhagavata devotee like Maharaj Parikshit is certainly perfect in all respects. And because Maharaj Parikshit took his birth in the family of Maharaj Yudhishthir, he is addressed herein as Mahabhagavata or the greatest of the fortunates. The family in which a Mahabhagavata takes his birth is fortunate because due to the birth of the first great devotee, the members of the family, past, present and future, up to 100 generations become liberated by the grace of the Lord. Out of respect for his beloved devotee, therefore, their highest benefit is done to one's family simply by becoming an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. Om Tat Sat Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Kada Karamayam Sadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyae Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For this reason, this child will be well known in the world as one who is protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O most fortunate one. There is no doubt that this child will become a first-class devotee and will be qualified with all good qualities. So here we go back again where the birth of Maharaj Parikshit is very, very auspicious. And why is it auspicious? Maharaj Parikshit was born, or even before he was born, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, came to protect him and gave him his darshan. We all know the background of this story, and here the Brahmastra was released and while Brahmastra was released, Uttara prays at the Lord's feet of the Lord, and the Lord comes there personally. Now we know the Lord has different potencies and the Lord can send anybody to protect his devotees. But then for those here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says unalloyed devotee. So because Maharaj Parikshit was among the greatest of the devotees, and Maharaj Parikshit was protected directly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we go into the descriptions, where the Lord comes to protect, he comes in the form, he comes in the size of a thumb, you know, and he takes away. Now there was nothing that can really protect Maharaj Parikshit when the Brahmastra was released, because that's the most powerful weapon that anybody can think of. And when this was released, Uttara prayed, and Lord himself came and, you know, formed a protection around the womb of Uttara, and he came, as I said, in the size of a thumb, and he showed his 400 form there. And the darshan of the Lord was given to Maharaj Parikshit even before he was actually born. And we all say that in the seventh month, the consciousness comes to the child. And soon as the consciousness came to the child, he was only thinking of the Lord. Or because he had the darshan of the Lord, he could think of the Lord always. And it is also said that was a perfect time of the birth. And why was it the perfect time? Because we all celebrate sometimes in the material world a birth of a child, and you know, we celebrate in different ways every year. And but then the first birth, that when the birth is when the child is thinking about it, is celebrated because that is the end of a cycle of birth and death for a devotee. So that is the way that celebration really happens. It should be in that trend, saying that this is the last birth in the material world and that the child is going back home, back to Godhead. So that's how the celebration really happens. Now the qualifications of Maharaj Parikshit are also given here, and he is called as Mahabhagavata. If we go a little beyond Maharaj Yudhishthir and Arjuna, they were also great devotees of the Lord, Mahabhagavata. Now many times when we discuss about Mahabhagavata, what is our understanding of Mahabhagavata? A person who can nicely recite Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita is called Mahabhagavata. Is that the general understanding that we think of, saying that one who can recite the shlokas nicely, one who can give nice discourses on Mahabhagavata? No, that's not the only quality. Yeah, it is one of the qualities of a Mahabhagavata, that he can read the scriptures and also give out nice explanation about the scriptures. So here Yudhishthira Maharaj and Arjun both are unalloyed devotees of the Lord, and here in the purport Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, hundreds of lifetimes, the family in which a Mahabhagavata takes his birth is fortunate, because due to the birth of a first great devotee, the member of the society, the members of the family, past, present and future. So not necessarily those who are going to come in the future. It is even talking about those who are already present in the family and those who have taken birth, the forefathers that we talk about. Past, present and future, up to 100 generations become liberated by the grace of the Lord, out of respect for his beloved devotee. So we don't have to really think whether Arjuna and Yudhishthira were qualified or were they Mahabhagavatas. They were already Mahabhagavatas. And sorry. And when Yudhishthira, when Parikshit was born, Kripacharya was invited to perform the Jataka ceremony. You all know about this. Do you know the story about this? The Jataka ceremony was performed by Kripacharya, who was available there. And the auspiciousness for the translation from the stage to another, that is why there are two reasons that the Lord appeared to protect Parikshit Maharaj. The Lord appeared to protect Parikshit Maharaj basically for two reasons. The first and foremost reason is that Parikshit Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord, and the protection was required because of the invincible weapon which was released. And the second one was the quality of Maharaj Yudhishthir. It was because of the qualities of Maharaj Yudhishthir, because he was also the head of the family at that point of time, the Lord came to protect Parikshit Maharaj. These are basic two reasons that we generally find. Otherwise, we tend to know that why does the Lord come? The Lord comes to protect his devotees in the form, it could be a direct form or an indirect form. But for an unalloyed devotee, it is important that the Lord himself comes. He says, I don't want to take a chance. He himself wants to execute the responsibilities or the duties that he has taken up. Now we look at the Mahabhagavata. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was a Mahabhagavata. Parikshit Maharaj, we have heard of his story. And there are other Mahabhagavatas within our parampara. So we can go back to some of them, remembering the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one among them was Shivananda Sena, a great devotee of the Lord again. And a few stories that we can actually know as to who is a Mahabhagavata. As I said, Mahabhagavata is not only with the reading of the scriptures or giving nice discourses, but it becomes with his complete life dedication to the Lord or the devotees of the Lord. So Shivananda Sena was again among very close associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And there's this story that Shivananda Sen every year would take devotees for Rath Yatra to Jagannath Puri from Bengal. And during this journey, it is not, now it is very easy for us to, you know, some of us take a train, some of us take a flight and then reach Jagannath Puri and have darshan and come back. But those days, to organize, even in these days, you know, when we have the temple organizing devotees, Yatra for the devotees, if we have some 50, 60 or 100, it's so difficult to collect them together and take them, call them to the relay station and then make arrangements on the way for prasadam. And when prasadam arrangement is not done, some devotees get fried, some devotees come late, some devotees get up a little late. So all these complications we see, despite being all the comforts in this age. But those days, when Shivananda Sen used to take the devotees for Yatra to Jagannath Puri during the Rath Yatra, he had to make all the arrangements very well in advance. Not only that, he had to make the groups and then take them. But apart from that, there were different countries those times, you know. They were called as different states and different countries. And every time you cross the borders, you have to pay taxes and all such things were there. You have to, and many times you have to cross through the boat, through the jungles, and protection of everybody who is available along with the devotees was very important. So Shivananda Sen would take yatras to Jagannath Puri every year. And he would make all the arrangements. He would ensure that, you know, everybody gets their campsite. They, you know, go back, take rest. They get prasadam in time. They follow. If somebody is not keeping too well, then he would take care of all of them. So here, during one of the yatras, there was a stray dog, you know, who joined the yatra from somewhere. And Shivananda Sen took it as his personal responsibility, saying that this dog has joined. And the dog would not go anywhere. It would always follow all the devotees on a prasadam whenever the prasadam was served. And, you know, likewise. So he was as if one among them. During the yatra, Shivananda Sen took utmost care. And he also assigned some devotees to ensure that this dog, which is going along with the devotees, gets his prasadam in time and he's protected. It so happened that after some time, this dog was not to be seen anywhere. And they got really worried as to where the dog is. And Shivananda Sen personally looked for it, and then he sent a couple of devotees. He made a group of 10 devotees to look for this dog and said, no, he is important. The dog is to, you know, he was accompanying us as devotees, so we cannot leave him alone. And while doing that, so they did not find him. But when they reach Jagannath Puri, it was still there in their mind, and Shivananda Sen could not take prasadam properly, sleep properly. But nevertheless, they continued because there were a lot of other devotees along with them. And when they reach Jagannath Puri, they go and take darshan of their lordships and then finally go to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Shivananda Sen actually enters, which is this place, do you know where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Where he would reside in Jagannath Puri?
Gambhira.
Gambhira. So when they went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira, the dog was already sitting there in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was surprised as to what is this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Chant Krishna." So dog, actually in the terms like how human beings speak and say Krishna, he would say Krishna. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would, you know, give prasad to him, the coconut prasad, and then his own, from his own hands. And the dog would honor that prasad and then say, "Now chant Rama." And the dog would say, "Rama." So Shivananda Sen was amazed looking at this. And then he said, "Oh my God, if this dog can get mercy directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's hands, that means he's a real elevated soul." He goes and falls at the lotus feet of the dog and pays obeisances. So here, this is the quality of a Mahabhagavata. He does not distinguish between a human being or a dog or a, you know, anybody, but he really looks at somebody who is always thinking of the Lord, who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is always, you know, immersed in the glorification of the Lord or serving the Lord. So this is the quality of a Mahabhagavata. Again, Shivananda Sen, being a very great devotee, you know, there's another story where Shivananda Sen again was traveling, and this is much after Haridas Thakur left his body in Jagannath Puri. And this year it was Nityananda Prabhu who was also wanting to travel with the party which was going for darshan of Jagannath Puri, or going for Rath Yatra at Jagannath Puri. If we all remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had asked Nityananda Prabhu to stay back in Bengal and preach. And he said, "Because of instructions of my mother, I'm going to stay in Jagannath Puri, but you stay put in Bengal and preach, take care of the preaching mission here." So Nityananda Prabhu would not travel to Jagannath Puri every year like the other devotees did. But in this year, Nityananda Prabhu, because Haridas Thakur had left his body, he wanted to, you know, pay his respects to Haridas Thakur. So he also decided to travel along with Shivananda Sen. And this was years after Haridas Thakur left. So while they were traveling, Nityananda Prabhu, you know, there was that one kind of a check post, and Shivananda Sen said, "Okay, I'll finish my work and you all go ahead. Please proceed and I will complete the work and join you all." But it took much longer. It happens, you know, sometimes you get stuck more than the expected time you take. And there Nityananda Prabhu was very wild. And Nityananda Prabhu said, "Where is my prasadam? You know, this Shivananda Sen has brought me here and now he is not serving me any prasad. He's such a he's such a wretched person. He's not even taking care of my prasadam." And he curses him. The curse is saying that all the three sons of Shivananda Sen will die. And that's the kind of curse. And Shivananda Sen's wife was there. Shivananda Sen was still, you know, finishing his work at the checkpost, paying the taxes and all that, and then following. And she started crying, saying that, "How can this happen? You know, Nityananda Prabhu is saying like this, that all my three sons should die, despite my husband doing everything." Shivananda Sen, every year on year, he would do the seva for the devotees. And she was crying, and when Shivananda Sen came in those, you know, very crying modes, the wife said, "Look, this is what has happened, and Nityananda Prabhu has cursed you that all your three sons should die." The equipoised devotee Shivananda Sen said, "Actually, Nityananda Prabhu should have cursed all of us to die, including me and you. So we should thank him that he has cursed us, only that our three sons should die. So don't get worried about it. Yeah, he is very merciful. Whatever is the plan of the Lord, let him continue." And while reaching this place, he makes all the arrangements for prasad and then goes and meets Nityananda Prabhu. He offers his respectful obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu and begs apologies. But even before he could do that, Nityananda Prabhu gives him a hard kick on his heart, on his chest. And Nityananda Prabhu, Shivananda Sen falls down. Despite all this, he did not complain. And he said, he begged apologies of the Lord, saying that it was my mistake that I did not make the arrangements properly. And you please honor the prasad, my Lord. While doing this, one of the nephews of Shivananda Sen, his name was Shrikant, who was along with him, was thinking otherwise, saying that how can it happen? My uncle has been organizing this yatras, he's been taking care of the devotees so well. It just happened that he got delayed there, but it was not intended, but still Nityananda Prabhu was so harsh. And that was happening at the back of his mind, saying that what's happening? This is not the correct thing that should really happen. So, but Shivananda Sen never reacted to it. So that's another quality of a Bhagavata. Despite doing all this, Nityananda Prabhu hitting him hard, cursing him, saying that all your three sons will die. That's the quality of a Mahabhagavata. There's a third visit of Shivananda Sen once again. There's a third pastime where he visited I think this I will take it up a little later. This again is another visit of Shivananda Sen with his nephew, that is Shrikant, who goes there. But anyway, that's, I think, there's another pastime where Shivananda Sen's wife, her name is not mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he visits Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because every year she would travel along with the party to have darshan of their lordships in Tathiyatra time. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what happened? Where's your wife? I didn't see her. So Shivananda Sen says that Mahaprabhu, she has been, she's pregnant and she's likely to deliver the child. So that is the reason that she has not traveled this time. And this is the time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the name to the child. And does somebody remember the name of the child? Paramananda Puri. Paramananda Puri was again one of the god brothers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was initiated by Ishwara Puri, and he had a god brother called Paramananda Puri, again a very great devotee. So he gives this name to the child of Shivananda Sen, saying that please go and give the name to your child. Even before the child is born, the naming ceremony has already happened because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this name. And when the child was born, he brings the child back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So his wife gives the child to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does is keeps the child on the ground and gives a stone, and the child is sucking the toe of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's that. These are the pastimes of the great devotees that go ahead. And this is the special mercy that the Lord gave this child, who was initially named as Paramananda Puri, and then later he was known as Kavi Karnapura. And he also translated he was the author of many of the transcendental literatures, including Gaudiya Deepika. And while this was happening, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while this child was sitting in front of him, he was telling, chant Krishna, and the child would not say anything. So everybody sitting around there got really confused as to what is happening. The child was quiet when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, chant Krishna. He would not utter it. And then everybody, including Swarup Damodar, who was assisting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, felt that, what is happening? Why this boy is not chanting? Every time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, chant the holy name, chant Krishna, he's not chanting. And then it was realized that the child felt that I was initiated as Krishna, Krishna Das, and he would never chant. So he was thinking that, you know, I'm being initiated, so my guru, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is giving this name, and he did not chant the name. So these are references that goes by the Mahabhagavata. And again, in one of the lectures, Srila Prabhupada says that a Mahabhagavata need not be a sannyasi. Very clear on this. Says he need not be a sannyasi, he need not be a renunciate. He can be anybody, it can be even a king or an ordinary person who no respect there. So not necessary that a Mahabhagavata is only a sannyasi. So it could be anybody who is always thinking of the holy name of the Lord and always serving the Lord. And it also goes more with the samskaras, the trainings that we give, the qualification, the basic qualification, not the material qualification of education or anything in the material world, but the qualification that the child has or the person has. And he's also taught how the child is taught to practice Krishna consciousness, which is very important. This is again the qualities of Srila Prabhupada. I'm sure there's no end to if we keep talking about Srila Prabhupada's qualities, and for us he's the living example of being a Mahabhagavata. Srila Prabhupada was instructed by his Guru Maharaj to preach the holy name of the Lord to the Western people in English language. But then due to his own circumstances, it took much longer for him to start the movement and go to the Western world and preach. But nevertheless, before that, Srila Prabhupada many times mentions that, saying that, you know, he's had his Guru Maharaj in the dream, and where his Guru Maharaj is asking him to take sannyas. And he expressed this desire to one of his, not this desire actually, this dream that he had expressed to one of his god brothers. His name was Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. And when he expressed this, he said, why not, you should take it. If you have your Guru Maharaj or our Guru Maharaj coming in your dream, then I'm sure there is a plan that Guru Maharaj has. And then after a couple of years, we all see that Srila Prabhupada was initiated in Keshav Gaudiya Math in Mathura. And during the initiation or taking the sannyas ashram, everybody there spoke in Hindi. All the disciples, all those sannyasis who took sannyas on that particular day, spoke only in Hindi. And Srila Prabhupada was the only one who spoke in English. Because deep within his heart, he had this instruction of his guru which says, please go and preach to the people in the Western world, or preach them in the English language. So we see this is another quality of a Mahabhagavata, that his instructions of his Guru Maharaj are very close, and they manifest those qualities as and when the time ripens, as and when the right time comes to actually express this, their desire of that Guru Maharaj, and serve them. Now, we go back to again pastimes of Rath Yatra. There are devotees who would come to Jagannath Puri every year, and when they would come to Jagannath Puri, what would they bring? They would bring the silken cloth for the Rath Yatra. The silken cloth is, you know, as thick as probably my wrist, or maybe even thicker than that, and it's long. Some of you who have visited the Rath Yatra can see it's very, very long. And the devotees who come from Bengal get that silken cloth. And every year they would go there, get this as a gift for Lord Jagannath for his Rath Yatra, and then attend the Rath Yatra. During the Rath Yatra, they would meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is one of the pastimes where the devotees go and ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as to who's the devotee. Very simple question. And the first year, the devotees went and asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saying that, who's a devotee? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very simple answer. He says, one who chants Hare Krishna, one who chants Krishna is a devotee. So they got satisfied, went back to Bengal, and then come back again the next year for attending the Rath Yatra, and again meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and pose the same question to him, saying that, who's a devotee? So in the second year, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives this answer, saying that a person who continuously chants the Hare Krishna is a devotee. So you can make the difference. The first year, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, who chants even once is a devotee. And second year, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, who continuously chants the holy name or chants Hare Krishna is a pure devotee. And the third year, the devotees again go back and ask the same question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when you see that person, who's a devotee? So he says, when you see that person, you start to chant. So that's a devotee. And that's the quality of a Mahabhagavat again. So when we see that a devotee, not necessarily that a devotee should be born and then he's chanting 16 rounds right from his birth, or he's preaching right from his birth. Over a period of time, he becomes a devotee. So, over a period of time, he becomes a Mahabhagavata. And that happens because he is executing the orders of his guru. He is also following the parampara. He is also having unalloyed devotion service to the Lord. And that's where the Lord gives that empowerment to become a Mahabhagavata. He starts chanting once, he starts chanting continuously. Then, whenever somebody sees him, they also start chanting the Hare Krishna. So that's the quality of a Mahabhagavata. We can relate this very closely to Srila Prabhupada. I'm sure you must have heard of this pastime of Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada travelled to the US in Jaladuta, while he was reaching the coast, just before reaching the coast, there was a coast guard, and then he waved at one of the coast guards. Yeah, and I don't know if you all remember this pastime, or do you know this pastime? There was a coast guard who just waved at Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada waved at him, and he waved at him. And this person became a devotee after 4 years, a full-time devotee. And his name, I think I have, his name is Chavan Maharaj. He's a full-time devotee. So I'm saying, I'm just quoting the reference to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, when you start looking, or when you look at that person, you will start chanting. You can also become a great devotee. So Srila Prabhupada was such an empowered devotee that when this coast guard just waved at him, he did not speak to him, he did not do anything. He just waved at him, maybe out of love, out of compassion, out of whatever. And he felt that there's an old man on the ship on Jaladuta, and he just waved at him. And 4 years after that, he becomes a devotee. And he later becomes a full-timer, and he was known as Chavan Maharaj. Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta. And this person is a coast guard, so they do rounds, you know. That's the security. No, he was not on the ship. He was on a smaller boat. Not even on the ship that Sri Prabhupada was. Not even on Jaladuta. Yes, on the water. So they were guarding the coast. And he waved at him. So you look at the mercy of a Mahabhagavata. Even if he waves at somebody, he becomes a devotee. What to think about associating with a devotee? Well, if we take a moment's association with devotees, it is possible that our life can change. The only things that we have to really keep in mind is the attitude. The second is the mindset and the proper disposition. These are basic three qualities of becoming a devotee or becoming, you know, a servant of the Lord. It is said that one needs to have that hunger to become Krishna conscious. It is also commonly known, you know, you will appreciate the quality of a food only when you are hungry. Yeah, when you are given too much of food, you've just had lunch and somebody comes and gives you rasgulla also, you will not like it. Probably you may want to taste one of them. But when you are hungry, you actually value the quality of the food, the value of the food when you are hungry. So likewise, one needs to be hungry from inside to become Krishna conscious. One needs to be hungry from inside to know the actual truth. One needs to be hungry from inside to know how to go back home. Only then one can realize this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's all going to be a passing reference. You know, it's okay, it comes and goes. I've read one novel, I'm reading another. They consider Bhagavad Gita or any of the scriptures as a novel, and they just pass it. They don't even remember after a few days or a few months what they have read. So one needs to have that hunger from inside. It should actually come from inside. And very, very important is mercy. The Guru's mercy can only be perceived by one organ in the body. And that's only hearing. Only our ears. That's the first thing. That confirms also. Saying that only by hearing we can do it. So as far as possible, if devotees can hear about the glorification of the Lord, glorification of the Lord's devotees, Shishi Jagannath Baldev Shubhadramai Ki Jai, Shidada Krishna Chalaj, Lakshminarshinade Bhagwan Ki Jai. And this was also appreciated by His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. He always said that Srila Prabhupada always heard very well. Yeah, this was Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj made this statement many times, saying that Srila Prabhupada heard very nicely and he also asked pertinent questions. So it is very important that we hear nicely and we also ask pertinent questions about the subject which is being spoken. And he also had predicted, and he said he will speak very nicely. So Srila Prabhupada will speak very nicely. So that's the mercy of the Guru, that one becomes a Mahabhagavata. And last but not the least, Srila Prabhupada made this statement. He said, a Mahabhagavata is interested in broadcasting the glories of the Lord. That's the most important quality of a Mahabhagavata. So, while we read, while we hear, while we associate with devotees, it is also very important for us to broadcast the holy name of the Lord, broadcast the message of Godhead, or broadcast the glories of the Lord. And this broadcasting of the glories of the Lord should be done without any self-interest or self-glorification or becoming famous. It should be done in a humble mode. So, Prabhupada was very... there's another quality of Srila Prabhupada which we can learn. Prabhupada is a very agile person. Agile is a new language, you know. These days we talk about agility and all that. So, if we go back to Srila Prabhupada's life itself, he was a very agile person. So, Mahabhagavata has to be a very agile person. I'll just end this one story. Agile means one who can get adjusted anywhere, anyhow, any place. Adaptability. So, agility. You can get, it's like water. If you put it in any kind of a, it takes the shape of whatever you put into, whatever vessel that. So, that's called, I'm saying that's a very crude way of calling agility. Agility is somewhere where you can get adjusted. So, Srila Prabhupada was a very agile person. You know, that's another quality of a Mahabhagavata. We go back, Srila Prabhupada first went to US and he was staying with Sally and Gopal Agarwal. And it was a very small house where, you know, Sally and Gopal Agarwal were staying. And Gopal Agarwal was known to, his father was known to Srila Prabhupada. And he had requested, saying that, your son is in the US, can you request him to, you know, send me a visa so that I can go. And that got finally confirmed and then he went to US. And they would stay in a very small house. And Srila Prabhupada would actually cook for the whole family. So they had two children, and Sally and Gopal Agarwal. So wonderful people who actually gave the starting of the movement in the US. So Srila Prabhupada could adjust anywhere. And there are examples of how Srila Prabhupada responded to it, or how he really managed the whole situation. As I said, he would cook for the whole family, and the family would really love. At that age, you know, Srila Prabhupada would cook. There's another story also where Sally was very favorable, you know. She would go around the whole town and make some arrangements for Srila Prabhupada to speak at various places so people could receive the message. At the same time, in Sally's house where they were staying, Srila Prabhupada would take bath in the bathroom. And every day when Srila Prabhupada would take bath, the water would flow out of the washroom, out of the bathroom. And there was a carpet there. So Sally would really get worried as to, you know, every day this is getting wet and it's becoming. So, but she said, Swamiji, so I will not say anything. She kept on for a very long time. And one day she decided to speak to Swamiji, saying that in a nice way. Sally was very, very appreciative of Srila Prabhupada and very respectable to Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, she said, Swamiji, this water is coming out. So what are you doing inside? She said, I'm taking bath. But why is the water coming out? He says, can you show me how do you take bath? Okay. So when Sally says that, Srila Prabhupada so nicely and so innocently says, okay, come. And in the US, if you see, it's all bathtubs. There's nothing called a normal bucket in this one. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, I fill the bathtub and then I take a lota and pour it on me. So he's sitting outside bathtub and he's pouring it. And then the water is coming out because the door was just right in the hallway. So he's nicely showing it. Well, it is actually, if you look at taking a bath in the tub, is actually moochi. Your own water, you are taking bath and again the same water. So we don't. Srila Prabhupada never practiced that. Then Sally says, no, Srila Prabhupada, that's not the way that you have to take bath. You have to actually go into the bathtub and take lota and put. Then, so Srila Prabhupada really adjusted that. So after that, Srila Prabhupada would never fill the bathtub. he would actually fill a bucket and then go into the bathtub and take lunch. So that's the agility that Srila Prabhupada had. So, and one more incident I remember. Maybe note of this. Yeah. So, this is one incident where Srila Prabhupada will make himself available to the common man. So, he would go down to that level of Sally, you know. Though it's in the Western world, they are not really in that sense of qualified. But because Srila Prabhupada was a Mahabhagavata, he would come down to that level of understanding what Sally wanted to tell or how Sally wanted to do it. And there was one more incident, yes, I remember it now. Srila Prabhupada will wash his clothes, you know, so he would do his laundry in the bathroom. And Sally would feel, what is happening? She didn't know about all this. For the Western world, laundry is always go to the laundry, put your clothes there, and then you pay some dollars and then get it back kind of thing. And when Prabhupada would go into the bathroom, she'll hear the sound, dot, 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 dot. What is it that Srila Prabhupada was doing? She never realized it, you know, that he was doing his laundry or he was washing his clothes. She managed it for a long time, and again one day she, you know, gained courage and asked Srila Prabhupada, saying that, Swamiji, why is this noise coming from inside? Dot, dot, dot. He says, this is how we... Then he said what he was doing. He said, this is how we wash our clothes. We go either to the river bank or go into the veranda and take our clothes and hit it on the stone. And he was hitting it on the ground. Then Sally took him. She said, no, this is not the way that we do it in America. The way that we do it in America is, you know, we go to the laundry. And Sally gave Srila Prabhupada a couple of coins. And then, you know, Prabhupada will go to the laundry and then get his laundry done. So, this is the agility that one gets adjusted. At the same time, without offending them, making them understand what they want to say and coming down to that level. So, that's the quality of a Mahabhagavata. Though this may all sound very, very basics for us. But then if you realize the qualities of Srila Prabhupada, the way that he really took it up, that's the quality that we can see in a Mahabhagavata. That's the quality of a Mahabhagavata. And there's another quality of a Mahabhagavata. Again, as I said, it is not the age, it is not the cloth, it is not the experience that a Mahabhagavata can become. This is one of the stories where, this is in Kazakhstan, this is in Ukraine. There was an 11 years old girl who comes and, I forget which Maharaj it was, so she comes and talks to Maharaj, one of our, you know, acharyas within our parampara, that is within the ISKCON, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Sannyasi disciple, and she says, Maharaj, can you help me? I have certain cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, but I don't know how to make the other cantos available to myself. And Ukraine is a very poor country and it's very difficult for them to, you know, hand to mouth is also very difficult. And Maharaj was really shaken up by the quality of this small little girl of 11 years, thinking, why is she asking for, you know, how to make the whole set of Srimad Bhagavatam ready. And when Maharaj inquired this as to what was she looking at, what was she doing from the other devotees, they realized that she had no father, she had only mother. And the mother was, again, a very nice devotee. She would make a living out of making, living by selling prasadam. What she would do is she would make samosas, and those samosas she would sell in the market, and whatever money comes, she would actually offer and then sell it in the market. So that's how she was making her living. And she also said that there was a cheese vendor who was giving cheese for samosas. They had cheese in those part of the world, to the samosa. And she said, that lady who was supplying cheese to her mother had just passed away a couple of days back. And she said she has gone back home. And Maharaj was amazed, saying that a little girl of 11 years saying she has gone back home to understand. She said, she would give my mother the cheese at a very reasonable price. Not only that, with whatever money that she got from my mother, she would buy books from me. So this little girl of 11 years would distribute books to that girl, to the lady. So this is again another quality that we can see, what is a Mahabhagavata. A small little girl of 11 years can also be a Mahabhagavata. And in one of the lectures that I hear, all of us are sannyasis. All of us are sannyasis, whether we are in whatever dress.
either you wear an orange robe or you are consigned into an orange flame. So we are all sannyasis in that sense. So it is the most important duty of all of us being in this world that we have to glorify the holy name of the Lord, preach the holy name of the Lord, and become a Mahabhagavata by preaching. So again, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains about Kanishtha Adhikari, and instead of mentioning it as Uttam Adhikari, he mentions it as Mahabhagavata. So that's the quality of Mahabhagavata. So I will end here. If there are any questions or any comments, I'll be happy to take them. Thank you very much for hearing me and hearing from Srila Bhagavatam and giving me an opportunity to speak today. Brahma Srila Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Atai Gautre Manande. Amen.